The word of God given to us today are Acts chapter 14, verses 19 to 25. It is page 212 in the New Testament. Allow me to read the words. Then some Jews came from Antioch and Iconium and won the crowd over. They stoned Paul and dragged him outside the city, thinking he was dead. But after the disciples had gathered around him, he got up and went back into the city. The next day, he and Barnabas left for Derbe. They preached the good news in that city and won a large number of disciples. Then they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to faith. We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God, they said. Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting committed them to the Lord, in whom they had put their trust. After going through Pisidia, they came into Pamphylia, and when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. Amen. The place that Apostle Paul made as his last place of his visit during his mission trip was Derbe, which was near his hometown, Tarsus. For him to return to Antioch of Syria, his initial place of departure from Derbe, the shortest way would have been for him to go through Tarsus. But Paul did not take the convenient route and went back on the long way that he had come and returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Pisidian Antioch, which were full of people who tried to kill him. This was to meet the Christians who had accepted the gospel from him and to encourage them. Each place he went, Paul appointed elders from the believers, prayed in fasting with them, and committed them to the Lord in whom they had put their trust. This was to make the elders to pray and entrust themselves to the Lord so that the rest of the believers would live in the same way. What does it exactly mean to commit oneself, to entrust oneself to the Lord? As we have learned in the Bible study classes, the new believers class, the mature believers class, and the class for the called, the first meaning of this word is to live in pursuit of God's words, to entrust oneself to God's words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John chapter 1, verse 1. As we all know very well, God is Word, and He resides in words. Apart from the Word, it is not possible to know God or to have a relationship with Him. Therefore, except for God's words, there is no other way to entrust ourselves to God. Jesus also said as follows in John chapter 14, verse 23 to 24, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me." Jesus clearly taught us what it means for us to love Jesus. That we love Jesus does not mean a change in our emotions or in our feelings towards Jesus. Loving Jesus means to live in pursuit of His words. This is because Jesus is the Word of God come to earth in the body of a man. Therefore, if someone confesses that he loves Jesus, but does not live according to the words of Jesus, then he could never be someone who loves Jesus. Then
God
Then what functional relationship can there be between the fact that God is Word and Jesus is that Word come to earth having taken on flesh? God, who is the Word, created this universe with His words, and we are God's created beings who have been created by God. Therefore, the Word of God is the life instruction manual that God gave to men, His creatures. It is only through the life instruction manual that God gave to men that men who are the created beings can live life in the right way without wasting it. And so didn't the psalmist sing as follows? Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. Psalm 119, verse 105. If man does not follow God's word, then no matter who he happens to be, he cannot help but gnaw away his life, the one life given to him in vain, in darkness. So this is the reason that God requires us to live according to his words. A lot of Christians mistakenly think that to live according to God's words is for the sake of God. Because of this mistaken belief that they live according to God's words for God, there couldn't be a greater burden on Christians than having to live in pursuit of God's words. But living according to God's words is not for God, but it is for men themselves. Because without God's words, the life instruction manual given to us by God, we can never escape the foolishness of gnawing on our lives for the sake of desires that are as vain as water foams. And for those who understand this, the word of God can no longer be a heavy burden to bear. And Apostle John, who understood this important fact, testified as follows. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. For a person who understands that God's words, far from being a heavy burden, is the only life instruction manual by which he could build his life in the right way, then the words of God becomes the greatest gift of love from God, and he is able to commit his life to God's words. The second meaning of committing one's life to God means, as we also learned, in the Bible study classes, is to accept all given situation with faith. God is definitely not a being who stays at a particular place. He is omnipresent. Moreover, the Bible testifies that no matter where we happen to be, God is always with us. Therefore, to commit one's life to God means to understand that each situation given to us, each thing that happens to us, at each moment of our lives, happen in accordance with God's providence. And even if something unexpected happens, it is to carry out God's love and his justice without being shaken, even in such situations. If a man's understanding, analytical skills, and the way he goes about doing something are always the same as that of God's, then we have no real need to believe in such God. But God is the creator who is fundamentally different from men who are created beings. Therefore, the process by which God fulfills his providence and the way in which he implements his works are always, they always go beyond the mere imagination of men. In 586 BC, due to invasion of Jerusalem by Babylonian Empire, the kingdom of Judah was destroyed overnight. The Jerusalem temple, which the Jewish people regarded the same as God, was destroyed, and countless people were killed, and they were robbed of their possessions, and most of the people in leadership positions were taken away to Babylonia as prisoners. How can there be a greater tragedy than for a nation to be crushed and oppressed under the military force of a foreign power? How can there be a greater despair? Jerusalem became filled with lamentations of Jewish people. But even in that desperate situation, Prophet Jeremiah cried out as follows. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 26 to 33. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke while he is young. Let him sit alone in silence, for the Lord has laid it on him. Let him bury his face in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him offer his cheeks to one who will strike him, and let him be filled with disgrace, for no one is cast off by the Lord forever. Though he brings grief, he will show compassion. So great is his unfailing love, for he does not willingly bring affliction or grief to anyone. Jewish people who had lost their country lamented in despair, thinking that everything was over. But even in that hopeless situation where all Jewish people became filled with despair, Jeremiah knew the true intent of God. God's real intent was not to destroy Jewish people, but to establish them in the right way through the pain of losing their country. Faith is not putting trust in my judgment, but in all circumstances, putting my trust in God's true intent. Because Jeremiah trusted God's true intent and believed in it, he was able to maintain his position as a believer and act in the right way as a believer. Didn't Prophet Hosea make a similar confession as that of Prophet Jeremiah? Hosea chapter 6, verse 1. Come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us to pieces, but he will heal us. He has injured us, but he will bind up our wounds. But is God, God, the creator, a being who toys with his insignificant and vulnerable creatures for his amusement? If he's going to bind them again, then why tear them? If he's going to heal them again, then why cast them off in the first place? One what God casts off and tears apart are the wounds full of pus in men's lives that must be cut out. And the reason God binds up and heals them is to give them a new life that they need. So, a person, it is only the person who believes in the true intention of God is able to not be anxious over the results after he has done his best. And even when he gets the results that he wants, he does not become arrogant. And when he gets a result that is the opposite of what he expected, he does not despair. He walks the way of God's love and justice according to God's life instruction manual with a greater humility without being shaken. Although his plans are not realized, he believes that God's plan is being fulfilled without an inch of error precisely through his failures. Furthermore, it is the person who trusts the true intention of God who believes that there is time for all things. The words of Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 to 8. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. It is only the person who believes in the true intent of God and who believes that there is time for all matters and all things who can wholly commit his life to God and lead a Christian-like life according to God's life instruction manual in all situations. And from this perspective, Paul of today's text, who appointed elders each place he went and prayed in fasting with them and committed them to the Lord in whom they had put their trust, was a Christian who, before anyone and more than anyone, committed himself to God. The first mission team sent by the Church of Antioch of Syria for evangelism of the Mediterranean world were made up of three members: the lead pastor of the Antioch church, Barnabas, his co-worker Paul, and their helper Mark. When they set out, their leader was the head pastor, Barnabas, and the first stop of their mission trip was Cyprus Island. First trip was Cyprus Island in Mediterranean, which happened to be the hometown of team leader Barnabas. But while they traveled from the eastern port Salamis of Cyprus to the western port Paphos, the leader of the team changed from Barnabas to Paul. Although Barnabas was outstanding in pastoring the church at the mission fields, Paul's abilities outshone his, and that Barnabas did not object at all to Paul becoming the new leader in place of him also makes us realize that Barnabas too was someone who had committed himself to God.
이상한 바나바가 야심차게 그 다음 행성지로 결정.
The place that Paul, the new leader of the mission team, ambitiously picked as their next destination was Perga of Pamphylia. Pamphylia is located at southern coastal area of Turkey, and Perga was a major Roman city located there. And Perga, which was established by the Persian Empire, was conquered by King Alexander of Greece in 334 BC, and it reached its peak under the Roman Empire, which became its new master, and which greatly expanded the city. 2,000 years ago, when Paul visited Perga, in today's text, it was at its height. If you visit Perga today, there are well-preserved remains from that time of 2,000 years ago. From the entrance to the city, you can see two towers, each 12 meters in height, and the great central road, which is 300 meters in length and 20 meters in width, that goes through the heart of the city, and the imposing public square that is 65 meters in length and in width. These things all vividly show what a big city Perga was 2,000 years ago. And it was probably a great city that could not be compared to Salamis of Cyprus Island or Paphos that Paul had stopped by before coming to Perga. Now, it is easy for us to picture Paul full of daring and ambitious dreams to spread God's words in Perga. But as soon as Paul got to Perga, all of his plans went awry. As soon as they arrived there, their helper, Mark, went back home and left the mission team without taking a leave. At that time, the way to travel on the road was by walking. And in order to journey on foot, one often had to eat and sleep on the road. So to travel a long distance without a helper was a real challenge. On top of that, Paul, as soon as he got there, came down with an endemic disease. He had gone to Perga with a lot of ambition. But in that city, Perga, he could not spread the word of God even to one person. But Paul did not despair at all. He accepted the situation with faith and trusted the true intention of God who put him in that situation. Aren't all situations given to us, in actuality, God's traffic signals intended to guide us? God, through circumstances given to us, sometimes make us stop. Or through circumstances given to us, lead us to pass by the places where we had intended to stop, doesn't he? Paul, although when he got to Perga, his helper left him and he came down with endemic disease, did not give up and returned. He saw the traffic light of God that led him to a place different from Perga. So Paul, from Perga, situated in a low-lying area, he went to Pisidian Antioch, located at a higher altitude, where his sickness could be naturally healed. In order for him to go from Perga to a high altitude Pisidian Antioch, he had to cross over the rough peaks of Taurus Mountains. It was a rough journey that required him to eat and sleep deep in the mountains for at least 7 days. For Paul, who was sick with endemic disease, it was a journey that he had to risk his life on. But Paul, who saw the traffic signal from God, didn't care, risked his life, and went over the Taurus Mountain and went to Pisidian Antioch. And as a result, the people of Pisidian Antioch, whom God wanted to save, were able to be saved. If Paul had not contracted the endemic disease and didn't feel the need to cross over the Taurus Mountains and spread the gospel only at Perga and nearby coastal areas of Mediterranean, the providence of God that would save his people in Pisidian Antioch would not have been fulfilled. Therefore, that Paul became sick as soon as he got to Perga with endemic disease was an unfathomable providence of God, and the greatness of Paul lies in that, although he became sick, he had the unshakable faith to believe in the true intention of God without any doubt. When he went to Pisidian Antioch after all this hardship, he was expelled from there due to the incitement and persecution by the Jews. But he didn't blame anybody, because this was yet another signal from God that led him to another place. So Paul went to Iconium to deliver the words of God, and when the Jews at Iconium also tried to kill him, he went to Lystra, guided by God. In Lystra, he was mercilessly showered with stoning, intending to kill him, executed by the Jews who came after him from Pisidian Antioch and from Iconium. But he showed the people of Lystra that the truth of God can never be stamped out, no matter how one tries to trample on it with the whole of his bloodied body. He had never wavered in his trust of the true intention of God, even in the midst of this situation. He went to Derbe, near his hometown, but he did not go to his hometown that he longed for in his dreams. He knew that it was not a time for him to go back to his hometown. It was the time for him to go back on the way that he had come and to encourage the faith of Christians who had newly accepted the gospel from him. So Paul, who in complete obedience to God's signal, returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Pisidian Antioch, and appointed elders, prayed in fasting with them, and committed them to the Lord. And verses 24-25 of today's text reveals what happened next. After going through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia, and when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. From Pisidian Antioch, Paul returned to Perga of Pamphylia, the first stop that he had made in his journey. At least 1 year had gone by since he had become sick at Perga and he had to leave Perga to go to Pisidian Antioch. In order for him to come back to Perga, Paul had to cross over the Taurus Mountains again, eating and sleeping in the mountains for at least 7 days. Having come back to Perga after such arduous journey, he did not take rest, immediately returning to Antioch of Syria. Rather, as soon as he got to Perga, he delivered the words of God. He knew that unlike a year ago, it was a time for him to deliver the words of God there. The reason that Paul's life is so brilliant and so moving is that no matter what situation he found himself in, he believed in the true intention of God and committed his life wholly to God. The following is the testimony of Prophet Isaiah. Yet you, Lord, are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. We are the clay. God is the potter who made us. Do you really believe that we are the clay and that God is the creator, the potter who made us? Do you believe that God who made us is the omnipotent God who is omnipresent and that no matter where we happen to be, He is with us? If so, then even when our plans come to nothing and we drink in the bitter cup of failure, let us trust the true intention of God. Let us all believe that God at times tears us, not because the tearing itself is His purpose, but because He wants to bind us up and newly establish us through such tearing. In all situations, let us do our best to live God's love and His justice in accordance with the life instruction manual that He has given us. Let us do our best in all things, but leave the timing of everything to God. Let us look upon God with eyes of faith and wholly commit our lives to God. There is no better way to glorify ourselves than that. As we can know through the life of Apostle Paul through today's text, committing oneself to the Lord is the only way by which a finite man can connect to God's eternity, transcending time and space. Let us pray. Paul, even in a bleak situation in which his plans came to nothing, did not blame God. He believed in the true intention of God and saw the signal of God which led him in all given situations with the eyes of faith. He stopped where God told him to stop and went on to places where he was told to go. And so he passed by Perga, a place where he had tried to get to with great efforts. And when he returned 1 year later, preached a word there, he never once decided the timing of any matter. He completely obeyed God's timing and did his best to carry out God's love and justice pursuant to God's life instruction manual in all situations, because he so completely entrusted his life to God. Everywhere he went, God's mysterious providence was fulfilled, and as a result, he became the eternal apostle who renewed the history of men. We thank you that you have allowed us to examine ourselves before Apostle Paul. All this time, I had presumed that what I had hoped for and wanted was God's will. Although I said I believed in God, I didn't treat life instruction manual given by God as being important. I decided the timing of everything. I had never once trusted the true intention of God or thought about it. Please forgive my foolishness in thinking that I believed in God despite this. From now on, allow me to become a true person of faith who believe the true intention of God who made me and who made me his child in Jesus Christ. No matter what results follow after I do my best, allow me to follow God's life instruction manual with greater humility. Allow me to entrust timing of all things to God and carry out God's love and justice without any lack. And so may my life become the eternal pathway of God, which serves to fulfill God's providence within the history of this age. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.